supposed to be on summer vacation. Dad tried to convince me that this would be a great thing for me, and how Spag Union would really whip me into shape. But going off to boot camp was not the way I was planning on spending my school break. I told Dad I won't last a day at Spag Union. First of all, they mix kids my age in with teenagers, and that can't be a good thing. I'm sure the older kids would single me out on the first day, whip me with a towel, and say, "Wimp." But what I'm actually a lot more concerned with is the bathroom situation. I'll bet Spag Union is one of those places that has open showers with no stall doors, and that kind of setup is not for me. When it comes to the bathroom, I need my privacy. I don't even use the bathroom at school unless it's an absolute emergency. A few classrooms in our school have bathrooms right in them, but I can't even use those, because every little sound, squawk, you make is broadcast to the whole room. The only other option is to use the cafeteria bathroom, and that place is a complete madhouse. Somebody got the idea a few weeks ago to start throwing wet toilet paper around, so now that place is like a war zone. I can't concentrate in that kind of an environment, so I basically have to hold it until I get home from school. A couple of days ago, something happened that changed the situation. The janitor put some new air fresheners in the bathroom. I started a rumor that the air fresheners were actually security cameras to catch whoever was throwing the wet toilet paper. I guess I must have told the right people, because from that point on, the cafeteria bathroom has been quieter than the library. I might have solved the bathroom problem at school, but I don't think I'm going to be able to pull off the same kind of trick at Spag Union. And I seriously doubt I can hold it for the whole summer. I knew I wasn't going to convince Dad to change his mind, so I went to Mom. I told her I didn't want to go to a place where they make you shave your head and do push-ups each day at 5 o'clock every morning. I figured she'd agree with me and talk some sense into Dad. But it looks like Mom isn't going to be any help to me after all, because all she said was, "I think you'd look so handsome in a uniform." Wednesday. I knew I needed to do something quick to convince Dad that I was tough and didn't need to go to military academy. So I told him I wanted to join the Boy Scouts. Dad seemed really enthusiastic about the idea, so that was a relief. Besides trying to find a way to get Dad off my back, I have a couple of other reasons for wanting to join the Boy Scouts. Number one, Boy Scout meetings are on Sundays, so that means I can quit soccer. And number two, it's about time I start getting some respect from the other kids at school. And maybe this will do it. When I walk into a room, someone will yell, "Attention!" And I'll just say, "As you were, gentlemen." There are actually two Boy Scout troops in my town. Troop 24, which is right in our neighborhood, and Troop 133, which is about 5 miles down the road. Troop 133 is always having hot dog roasts and pool parties and stuff like that, but Troop 24 is constantly out doing community service projects on the weekends, so I'm definitely more of a Troop 133 kind of guy. Now the trick is to make sure Dad doesn't find out about Troop 24, because he'll make me sign up with them for sure. In fact, tonight we were driving to the mall, and we passed Troop 24 cleaning up the park. Luckily, I distracted Dad at the last second, though I can't believe he fell for it when I shouted, "Look, a bald eagle!" Sunday. Today was my first Boy Scout meeting, and luckily, it was with Troop 133. I got Rowley to sign up with me, too. When we got to the lodge, we met Mr. Barrett, the scoutmaster. He asked me and Rowley to say the Pledge of Allegiance and do a bunch of other stuff, and we were in. Mr. Barrett even gave us our uniforms. Rowley was happy because he thought the uniform was cool, but I was just happy to have a clean shirt for a change. After we put our uniforms on, we joined the rest of the troop and started working on merit badges. Merit badges are these little patches you get for learning how to do all sorts of manly stuff. Me and Rowley started flipping through the merit badge book to see what we should work on. Rowley wanted to do something hard like wilderness survival or personal fitness, but I talked him out of it. I said we should just start off with something nice and easy. So we settled on whittling. But whittling was a lot harder than I thought it would be. It took forever to try to carve a block of wood into anything, and Rowley got a splinter within 5 minutes. So we went to Mr. Barrett and asked him if there was something less dangerous we could do. Mr. Barrett said that if we were having trouble with the wood, maybe we could use soap instead. And that's when I knew I made the right call when I signed up with Troop 133. Me and Rowley started carving the soap, but then I found out something really great. If you get the soap wet enough, you can just mold it into any shape you want with your hands. So we put away our whittling knives and squeezed our soap into a shape instead. My first creation was a sheep. I turned it into Mr. Barrett, and he checked one carving off my list. I didn't really know what to do for my next carving, so I just turned my sheep upside down and handed it back in as the Titanic. And believe it or not, Mr. Barrett accepted that one too, saying, "A terrible tragedy that was." So me and Rowley both got our whittling merit badges and pinned them to our uniforms. When I came home, Dad was really impressed. If I would have known that this was all it took to make him happy, I would have signed up for Boy Scouts about 6 months ago. May. Sunday. The other day, Mr. Barrett announced that our Boy Scout troop was having a father-son campout this weekend, so I asked Dad if he'd go with me. I was pretty surprised with how easy it was to impress Dad with that one little merit badge, so I figured a whole weekend of him seeing me do macho stuff would totally blow him away. But yesterday morning, I woke up as sick as a dog. I couldn't go, but Dad had to, because he signed up to be a driver. I stayed in bed pretty much the whole day. I just wish I'd gotten sick on a weekday instead of a weekend. Last year, I didn't miss any days of school, and I promised myself I wouldn't let that happen again, because everybody ragged me something awful when the principal made the announcement, "Congratulations to Greg Heffley for winning the Perfect Attendance Award." They called me a nerd. The father-son camping trip turned out to be a disaster. The phone rang at 10 o'clock last night, and it was Dad calling from the emergency room. Dad got put in a tent with the Woodley brothers, Darren and Marcus, because their dad couldn't come. Darren and Marcus were horsing around in the tent, even though Dad kept telling them to go to sleep. At one point, Darren threw a football at Marcus, and it hit Marcus in the stomach, which made Marcus wet his pants, and I guess Darren thought that was pretty funny. Well, Marcus went totally berserk. He bit Darren, and he wouldn't let go either. It took Dad a long time to pry the two of them apart, and he had to take Darren to the emergency room after that. Dad came home this morning, and he was not real happy with me for getting him stuck in that situation. Something tells me that after this weekend, he's not a real big fan of Troop 133 either. Sunday. Today was Mother's Day, and I didn't have anything to give to Mom. I was going to ask Dad to take me to the store so I could at least get Mom a card or something, but Dad was still recovering from the father-son campout, and I don't think he was looking to do me any favors anyway. So I had to come up with a homemade gift. Last year I made Mom a chore coupon book for Mother's Day. Each coupon had something like one free lawn mowing or one free window washing on it. I give Dad a chore coupon book just about every Father's Day, and it always works out great. It's a way for me to take care of my gift obligation without having to spend any money. And Dad never actually uses any of his coupons in the book. Mom cashed in every single one of her coupons last year, so I didn't want to make the same mistake this year. I tried to think of something original to make for Mom today, but I ran out of time. so I ended up just piggybacking on Manny's gift. He made a card with a big face on it that said, "To Mommy from Manny." And I signed it, plus Greg. Monday. I figure the best way to get Dad to forget that father-son camping mess is to have a do-over. So tonight at dinner, I asked Dad if he wanted to go on a camping trip, just me and him. I've been studying up on my Boy Scouts manual, and I'm pretty eager to show off what I've learned. Well, Dad didn't exactly jump at my offer, but Mom thought it was a great idea. She said we should go this weekend, and that Roderick could go too. She said it would be a great bonding experience for the three of us. I wasn't too enthusiastic about that idea, and neither was Roderick. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted to get out of the house this weekend is because me and Roderick are in a fight. Last night, Mom was giving Roderick a haircut in the kitchen. Usually when Mom gives us boys a haircut, she puts a towel around our necks so the hair doesn't get all over our clothes. But yesterday, Mom used one of her old maternity dresses instead of a towel. So when I saw Roderick like that, I knew I had to take advantage of the situation. So I took his picture. I ran upstairs and locked myself in the bathroom before Roderick had a chance to catch me and take the camera, and I didn't come back out until I was sure he was gone. Roderick got me back anyway. Last night I had a nightmare that I was sleeping on a nest of red ants, and when I woke up, I was covered in Roderick's hair clippings. The way I see it, now we're even. But if there's one thing I've learned about Roderick, it's that he's not gonna let it go. So that's why I'm not that eager to hold up in a tent with him for the weekend. Saturday. Today, me, Dad, and Roderick headed off on our camping trip. I picked a place that had a lot of manly activities that you could do. On the way to the campground, the sky got dark, and then it started to rain. I wasn't all that concerned because our tent is waterproof and Mom packed ponchos for everybody. But by the time we got to our campsite, it was 6 inches underwater. We were pretty far from home, so Dad decided we should just find a place to stay for the night. I was really bummed because the whole point of the trip was for me to impress Dad with my camping skills, and now we were just going to stay in some stupid hotel room. Dad found a place and got a room with 2 beds and a pull-out couch. We watched TV for a while and then started getting ready for bed. First, Dad went downstairs to the front desk to complain that the heater was too loud, so I was alone in the room with Roderick. I went into the bathroom to brush my teeth, and when I came out, Roderick was looking out the peephole. Then he said something that made me freeze in my tracks. He said that Holly Hills and her family were out in the hallway, and they were staying in the room right across from us. I had to see this for myself, so I moved him out of the way and looked out the peephole. The hallway was completely empty, and before I realized it was a trick, Roderick gave me a big shove and I fell out the door. Then it got worse. Roderick locked the door behind me, and I was stuck in the hallway wearing nothing but my tidy whities. I pounded on the door, but Roderick wouldn't let me back in the room. I was making a big racket, and I realized people in the nearby rooms were going to start opening their doors to find out what was going on. So I ran around the corner to save myself the embarrassment of anyone seeing me. I spent about 15 minutes sneaking through the hallways, hiding every time I heard voices. I was going to go back to our room and beg Roderick to let me in, but then I realized I didn't even know our room number, and all the doors looked exactly the same to me. I couldn't exactly go down to the front desk either. The only option I really had was to try and find Dad. Then I remembered. Dad is a junk food addict. I knew he'd eventually turn up at the vending machines, so that's where I camped out. I wedged myself in between the soda machine and the candy machine and waited. I had to wait a really long time. But Dad finally did show up. I popped out and said, "Hi." You know what, though? After seeing the look on Dad's face, I kind of wish I'd just sucked it up and gone to the front desk instead. Sunday. Well, after our camping trip, I'm pretty sure there's no chance I can convince Dad to change his mind about Spag Union. So at this point, I'm not even going to bother trying. I realize there are only about 3 more weeks before I get shipped out, so I figure this is my last chance to make a play for Holly Hills. If I'm lucky, maybe I can take some good memories, like of us smooching, with me to Military Academy, and my summer won't be so bad. I've been working up the nerve to talk to Holly for a long time, and I decided it was now or never. When we went to church today, I tried to make sure we sat right near the Hills family, but we ended up 2 rows in front of them, which I guess was close enough. And during the part where everybody shakes hands with one another, I made my move. I reached over the pews and said, "Peace be with you, Holly Elizabeth Hills." The handshaking thing was actually just step one in a 2-part plan, and the second part would come tonight. My next step was to call Holly on the phone and use the handshaking thing to get the conversation started. I'd call her and say, "Hi, Holly, this is Greg Heffley. You might remember me from a very special Peace Be With You." I can see her blushing now. At dinner tonight, I told everyone that I needed to make a very important call, so everyone should stay off the phone. But I guess Roderick must have figured out I was going to call a girl because he took all the handsets and hid them. That meant the only way to make a call was to use the speakerphone in the kitchen, but there was no chance of that happening. I told Mom that Roderick took all the phones, and she made him return them to where they belonged. Eventually, Roderick went down to the basement. Later on, I snuck into Mom and Dad's room to make my call. I turned off the light so Roderick wouldn't know I was in there, and I hid under a blanket. Then I waited for about 20 minutes to make sure he hadn't followed me. Before I had a chance to dial Holly's number, someone walked in the room and turned on the light. I thought for sure it was Roderick. But it wasn't. It was Dad. I decided to stay perfectly still and let Dad get whatever he needed and leave. But Dad didn't leave. He got into bed and started reading a book. I should have just uncovered myself the second Dad walked in the room, because now I couldn't just get up and walk out or I'd give him a heart attack. So I decided to just sneak out of the room, real slow. I moved about 1 inch a second. I figured it would take me about 30 minutes to make it all the way out of the room, but there would still be enough time to call Holly after that. I was only about 5 feet from the bedroom door when the phone in my hand rang and scared the living daylights out of me. I screamed. Dad screamed. I think he really did almost have a heart attack. And once he recovered, he didn't look happy to see me. Dad made me get out of his room, and then he slammed the door. I'm sure this episode didn't help my standing with Dad, but I guess at this point it's probably too late anyway. Tuesday. 2 days have already passed since I shook hands with Holly, and I didn't want any more time to go by before I spoke with her again. Luckily, Dad and Roderick weren't home tonight, so I knew I could make a phone call without being bothered. I practiced what I was going to say about 1,000,000 times, and then I finally worked up the nerve to make the call. I dialed Holly's number, and the phone started ringing. But right then, Mom picked up the phone downstairs. Mom has this really bad habit of just dialing without checking to see if anyone else is using the phone, and that's what she did tonight. I tried to stop her, but it was no use. It was like, "Beep, boop, beep, Mom! Beep, 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 boop. Mom!" The phone kept ringing at the Hills' house, and then someone picked up. It was Holly's mother. Mom was really confused, since she didn't dial the Hills' number in the first place. I just held my breath and waited for it all to be over. I could hear Mom saying, "Hello? Hello? Who's this?